overall, how do you see things for us over the next year or two?
I think us being the continental United States, I don't think there's any question about it in anybody's mind about economically it's going to get almost grim for most people. And so that's that was something a viewer saw about 15 years ago. Otherwise, I'm concerned about nuclear terrorism predominantly, and that's where our focus is turning now. I'm starting to lose sleep over the sum of all fears type of scenario.
Well, I remember 4 years ago, you were very concerned about some kind of nuclear attack with the North Koreans attacking South Korea shortly after we attacked Iraq. Hasn't happened yet, or is something going on there?
That that work, looking at actually discerning a nuclear weapon explosion, that work was done in around 1995. And what we specifically targeted was the idea of the next nuclear weapon used in anger with a massive loss of life. That specific idea. So we're And that is what led us to the use of a weapon on the part of the North Koreans. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. And then when we use the word next in our business as remote viewers, even as professionals, we still cannot discern how far out next is. It took us the reason there's an X on Mr. Bin Laden's location now on your website is that took 20 years to be able to do that. We could not do that in the original Sci-Spy unit. We wish that we could have. It took 20 years to work out the techniques to be able to do what we did, to put the X on a target.
That kind of pinpointing.
Yes, but we still cannot. We still have not solved the time problem. How far? We can see an event in the future, but we cannot detail quantitatively when is.
You know, in Seattle, they were looking for a couple people on a ferry. You just had a story about Port Angeles in Washington where a car with four people busted through and got away from customs, and they have no idea what happened there other than in 1999 they did arrest an individual coming through that port who wanted to blow up part of LAX, International Airport, there here in Los Angeles. You are concerned about terrorism. Have they stopped major possible terrorist attacks here? They're just not broadcasting it?
Not here. Not here. They've been stopped overseas. But in the U.S., some minor ones, yes. But some major ones have been stopped overseas. And that's the place to stop them before they get here. But what we're picking up as an intelligence unit is what looks like a very likely radiological attack. And this is not just surmise. We're actually picking up the devices and those kinds of things and how they will be utilized. And that's what got me reinterested in Al-Qaeda, because this is an Al-Qaeda operation.
Ed, do you share this information with government officials?
Several different governments, yes.
You do? Okay. So on a regular, it's not that they have to call you. I mean, there's a relationship there,
take it. Well, let me give you a couple of examples. On the original 9/11 attack, in 48 hours, I had all of our sketches and work and the actual identification of the command and control center who funded the attack. That was sent directly to Special Operations Command at MacDill Air Force Base at the time. And that was the command and control center was underneath Oman Shah Durrani's tomb in the center of downtown Kandahar. So that was sent immediately to them. In the case of, I had a personal vendetta against the architect of the Beslan massacre, you might recall.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted him myself. And so I went to the Russian border and came back, and about a month later, Mr. Shamil Basayev was exterminated by the Spetsnaz, by the Russian special forces. So it's not just the U.S. governments that I coordinate with.
So you gave them information and they did what they had to do?
Let's just call it a coincidence.
which is, I, of course.
This is the combat multiplier that is getting our capabilities are growing, and we're resource limited, but our capabilities are there, and it's we that red X on Mr. Bin Laden's location is something that doctrinal intelligence has not been able to do. As a tact of desperation, they have to use us.
And you also just, and I've got to ask you this, you said who funded 9/11 in the terrorist attack. Can you tell us who that was?
Well, that is exactly what we were looking for. I was looking for the source of the funding for the attack, and that's what led to Osama bin Laden underneath the tomb of Ahmad Shah Durrani in Kandahar. This time, I'm also very interested in who is funding Al-Qaeda in general. I want to know what the funding sources are. That's going to take a while, but that's on the back burner. The front burner is what appears to be some devices that are on our border being assembled or parts that are already in the continental United States. We're looking at that right now.
I don't think it would shock you, Ed, once you find out, but it may surprise a lot of people when you find out, because I just have a feeling that the funding may be coming from all over the place.
I suspect that it's coming from at least four major sources. I mean, there's people that hate us very much, and they have a lot of money. And they want very much to see Al-Qaeda succeed in its greatest plan, and that is the destruction of the U.S. via nuclear weapons. Now, what we're seeing, though, is a release of radiological material, a dirty weapon, not a nuclear bomb per se, or a special atomic demolitions munition, a backpack or a suitcase nuke. We're not seeing that right now.
You're not seeing a widespread, destruction of a city, but a radiological could take.
I didn't say that, George.
Oh, you didn't.
I didn't say that. I just said no explosion, no nuclear explosion.
A radiological would take out 100,000 people, I think, right?
It depends on a lot of different factors, dynamically, of course. But all I'm saying is that I'm making a distinction between a military weapon and a contrived weapon, like an IED.